It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz sitting in with you today, and you know, we're in the heat of summer, and of course, typically a less volatile time, but all of a sudden, we're starting to see a little bit of volatility creep back in the market. You know, does it have to do that the markets are at overvalues? Does it have to do with the market being concerned about Greece, the attack in Israel, ISIS? You know, what are the reasons for volatility? Well, as we learn in the trading world, is markets don't announce why they're concerned. They only let you know that they are. Now, what is concerning this market? Well, I'm sure it's a number of issues, and as I repeatedly will say, that because the market is in the tightest consolidation range since the year 1900, that the market is looking for a reason to break out. Now, when we talk about breakout can be up or down. It's not, you know, breakout is a what we consider a breakout to the trend. And when we break out to the trend, it'll break to the upside or break out to the downside. Now, as I look at the picture, I see ugly. I see earnings suck, a lot of global unrest, a lot of concerns about terrorism. So I can't make a legitimate case that the breakout could be the upside. But of course, I could be wrong. And we don't want to try to pinpoint which way the breakout is going to be. We have seen a dramatic drop in crude oil, but is it really dramatic? Or is it just down to a support level in which we've been watching? We see central banks around the world continuing to manipulate their own currency, trying to create benefit for their own GDP, for their economy. Now, I never kind of got that, but I'm sure it's correct. But, you know, manipulation is, to me, is the same as front-running the tape when you're trading. You are trying to make a market artificial. And as we all know, markets should not be and are not artificial. When you look at a picture and you have markets that are driven or controlled, which they are being now, by central banks, as we saw China last week, to stem the tide of the major correction. But granted, remember, China is still up gigantic for the year, but there is a correction. But of course, the bank stepped in and cut rates there again. And at what point does it not benefit? These rate cuts were supposed to be short-term solutions, not long-term solutions to problems that exist. I mean, you know, at some point, and I can't say what normal is, but what I can say is that 0% interest is not normal. Okay, what I can say is that when central banks are the news every day, that's not normal. Central banks are supposed to be in the background waiting to fight off a financial calamity, waiting to save the world from economic problems. But have they not done more than their job? When did it become important for the Federal Reserve to day trade and concern themselves with the stock market? When did it become that we heard from the central bank almost on a daily basis, whether it be Janet Yellen or one of her henchmen who comes out and makes some sort of a statement. Now, if you think that interest rates are going to rise, now, of course, the bond market says that they're going to rise sooner than later. But if you look back at 7 years of the recovery and you say, what have we done? What actually has recovered? Yes, the stock market has recovered. But what about jobs? Okay, we just had a jobs number that shows us that we've got the lowest participation rate since 1977. We just had a jobs number that said people have just given up. Now, as Americans, we're not used to giving up. So why now are we giving up? Where is it written that we need to give up? Where is the fight of the American entrepreneur that says, I'm not giving up. I want to fight for what's right. I want freedom. I want financial freedom. And what we've seen is a manipulated society that has squeezed the middle class so deeply that I want to know, how are kids going to go to college? You realize that at a major university, let's use the Big Ten, the average tuition at the Big Ten is about $40,000 a year. So if you figure 4 years for a degree, that's $160,000. And you know how long it takes to make $160,000? Do you know how much debt that they have to accumulate to get to that point? Now, you know, back in the day, I mean, my sister went to school. It wasn't a great school, but Southern Illinois, Carbondale. It was about $800 a year. Okay? Now, obviously, times have changed. She went to college in the 70s. But has it really become worth 50 times what it was worth in 1972? Are we really at a point where we can afford to be educated? I mean, you know, when you're not getting jobs anyways, they talk much about the millennials, but the millennials are graduating. They're not finding jobs. They talk about how they're moving from job to job. The reason they're moving from job to job is because the jobs are getting stink because they're not making any money. Okay? So, you know, yeah, there's always a couple of good jobs out there, but unless you're in the tech business, unless you can write code, where are you going to work? What are you going to do? Okay, you're going to go be a doctor and spend 10 years and $1 million to be educated? A lawyer, 8 years and, you know, $600,000? And I'm not saying that those are bad. I'm just saying that isn't it time that we took all of this into consideration and made America affordable instead of just affording the wealthy to get richer? I mean, isn't it time that we took away some of these ridiculous regulations that we now have everywhere? Because the regulations don't benefit the average guy. The regulations benefit basically no one, but if anybody, it keeps the rich getting richer and the entitled getting more and the middle class wondering what truck just ran them over. Think about it as we move on, and think about it when you look at the next bubble report, which if you're not getting the bubble report, you're making a mistake. It's the best $99 a year you'll spend, and to get that, you just need to go to thebubbashow.org and hit the bubble report and sign up. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out here for a break and be right back with our friend Julia Sun. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
There's no one but you.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally time to get your copy of the Bubba Report. We are now in full bloom running the report on a monthly basis. It will be the best $99 a year you will spend. What we have is we have Keith Bliss from the New York Stock Exchange, A View from the Floor. We've got Scott Chalady, Scott the Cow Guy from the CME. We've got the Badger with 35 years worth of experience. We've got Body Pittenger with 40 years in real estate. We've got me, Bubba, helping you out. We've got our friend Mike Brown, the financial planner, all bringing you spots and choices of getting involved in the stock market, giving you the best ideas that you can use moving forward. That is the Rebubba Report that is available at thebubbashow.org. $99 a year gets it to you. So go right now to thebubbashow.org and get yourself hooked up for the Bubba Report. It'll be ready for you. Hey, traders, are options your game? Well, guess what? Bubba and Badger are going to put together a 12-week webinar series to teach you options from the very beginning to the very complex strategies. We will be doing a 1 hour, once a week webinar telling you exactly what options are, where they become effective, and how to use them. Now, there's going to be a cost here. If you have some interest in learning the option market from the apps from the very beginning, if you've never traded options before, or if you are someone who wants to get a little bit more experience and get an idea from 75 years of training and trading, I urge you to email me now at bubba@thebubbashow.org because I want to hook you up. There is going to be a cost associated with this. I will be happy to discuss it with you personally, but get involved. 12 sessions with Bubba and Badger, 1 hour training. Email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org now. Traders, Bubba here. Are you using the best trading software for yourself? Are you getting the best commission rates that you can get? Remember, commission is part of liquidity. But the choice of Bubba and Badger is Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. If you're not using Thinkorswim, you are making a mistake that's going to cost you at some point from being able to have the best, most successful trades that you can. If you need some help getting hooked up, all you have to do is email me, bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I will help get you hooked up, and I do get a special price for Bubba Show listeners. Again, all you have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Thinkorswim, by far the best options trading platform that allows you not only options, not only stocks, but does now allow you the opportunity to trade futures. So make sure you email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get hooked up for Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, Thinkorswim. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Julia Sun from juliasun.tv, a personality, a trader, a person who has knowledge in all different areas. What's up, Julia?
What's up, Todd? How are you?
I'm great. And, you know, it's always good to talk to you and see you. And you do bring so many different things. You know, being a ex-trader and still interested in markets and being someone who is in the media, you bring a lot of different things to the listeners. And, you know, I know you had some ideas of things that are going on. But so I guess, you know, one of the things that would be interesting to talk about would be, you know, what's going on with all the travel and, you know, over the holiday. And as we come into the dead of summer, as you remember from your days trading, it's interesting as we get more demand for gas.
It's nice to get a few days off. I know you're, you know, where we're both crazy, we don't really take time off. And you, I heard you don't take any time off, period. But I think it's nice to have a little break time. And I was on the road for July 4th. And I don't know if your viewers feel the same way, but don't you feel the road was getting a little, you know, crowder than usual? And that, you know, if people feel like that, they have a very good reason, because more Americans have been traveling over the 4th of July weekend than any of the other recent years. So this year, AAA estimated that about 42 million Americans are on the road, and the vast majority of them, more than 8 out of 10, are traveling by car because gas prices coming down and people saved some changes. They can use it on, you know, other things like lodging or have a nice little vacation. The school is out. So I think Americans are really enjoying the travel, and it starts with 4th of July.
Do you think that they're traveling by car because they don't make any money, but they really feel it's time to at least try to get away and get a, like a little bit of a vacation? Because I know...
I do agree with that. So according to some analysts, from the month of January to June, if you compare 2015 to 2014, an average American would already have saved $500 from gas money. But from this, already saved $500 from gas prices, because gas prices have come down, although it came up a little bit, bounced back a little bit compared to the beginning of the year. But compared to last year, it has come down like quite a bit. So a lot of people are not using that money, you know, toward retirement or paying off debt. So people want to have fun. People want to go on the road with family. So I agree with you that people want to use this $500 average saving on something fun right now.
I mean, I think it needs to be fun, because I think really, you know, in my opinion, what we've seen over the last 7 years, although we're in a tremendous bull market, most people don't really benefit from the tremendous bull market. And most people have been under a lot of pressure.
I absolutely agree. Because most Americans, unfortunately, don't have a significant part of their nest eggs invested in the stock market. And even though we have been in a bull market, a lot of people didn't really catch that rally. And if you've seen the latest employment data from last Friday, the wage and average wage in America has been stagnant, to say the least.
Well, I mean, stagnant. And, of course, the labor participation rate is at 40-year lows. And even the jobs that they're creating are not good jobs, because, again...
Exactly. There are service jobs. Maybe there are some manufacturing jobs. Government is not hiring. White-collar jobs are definitely not picking up. So people in general are not making more than what they used to, even though on paper we see, okay, 5.3%, that's better than we thought. But I think people really need to look beyond the headline.
And I could not agree with you more. I mean, it is a headline-driven business, but that's really the media part of the business. It's not the real-life part of the business, and I think the problem in real life is that Mr. and Mrs. middle-class consumer have really struggled while they continue to hear how great the economy is. You know, when you go walk around and you look around at different areas of the world, now, obviously, there's certain pockets. New York is very little affected by what's going on, and there's other places, but most of the places around the world are really still in a major struggle. What are you seeing?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, I'm in New York, you're in Chicago, and of course, if I just look at the island of Manhattan, everything is rosy. Real estate is going out of the roof. I don't know if you've seen this report from last week that the average condo in Manhattan right now runs close to $2 million. A lot of foreign buyers right here, and people are just grabbing houses like, you know, it's nothing, it's on sale. But that is absolutely not an accurate reflection of what's happening in America. And I agree with you that average Mr. and Mrs. middle-class American are not getting a good deal.
Now, what are you hearing? You know, you are obviously, we've talked about this many times, I mean, extremely educated, very smart, have a degree in engineering, and you understand a lot of things. Now, also, you are from a high wealth, a high earning community, you know, from where you came from in California. What's going on there? Are they seeing any part of the troubles, or because they are obviously in the, if you're going to be in one field today, that would be the, you know, the high tech startup type stuff. They don't suffer as much either. So in your hometown, are they suffering, or is that also above everybody else?
I think in general it is above the middle class situation. But I have to say, you know, having a startup is a very difficult task. You have to raise money. You're responsible for everything. Your company, your startup is literally your brainchild. If you have a day job, you know, let's be honest, a lot of people say, I just want a job. I just want a 9-to-5 job. I want to get by. I want to earn salary. I don't want to worry about things so much. And that is fine. That's a lifestyle choice. But if you choose to be in California, where I grew up, which is San Francisco Bay Area, then it's a lot of responsibility. You need to work on a product. You need to think about what customers want. You need to go fundraising. You need to talk to venture capitalists. So on average, what I see is they are doing better than Mr. and Mrs. Middle Class, but it's also a lot of stress.
Well, yeah, but I mean, of course, if you want to be among the rich, I mean, you know, getting there does take stress and does take, you
know, absolutely, it takes hard work.
We all think that, you know, they just became rich overnight and they were, you know, I mean, obviously some were born.
Yeah,
with it, so
I don't particularly believe that part of the coverage in media, because I think people like to hear fairy tales. People like to hear so-and-so got quote-unquote discovered and, you know, it's a thing of a chance. It's just happened. And, you know, some people like to play off that way, and that is okay. But I think vast majority of the times it's hard work, and then someday something worked out.
Well, it's even in your field now, in our field now. I mean, the media, you know, mm-hmm. you hear about these superstars that make gobs of money and they're all over
yes.
the media. But to get to where they got, I mean, look at yourself. Look at how hard you work. doing, you know, bit pieces here and there and basically, you know, putting yourself out there as an independent mm-hmm. reporter. I mean, you know, tell us about the work it takes to do that.
Well, I'm very lucky. I count my blessings every single day because I'm in New York. New York happens to be the number one market in the U.S. And Chicago, where you are, is number three. So we're definitely in the top cities. But that being said, being in a big city, you know, the competition is everywhere, because in order to live in big cities, in order to work in big cities, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what you're talking about. You need to have on-camera presence. You need to, you know, have all your skills in order. So it is competitive, I'll be honest.
No, I mean, it's very competitive. But again, you know, and it does take, you know, again, you're running all over the place to do, mm-hmm. you know, as an independent, you know, you basically, I'm assuming, bill out your time for what you do, or you try to do something and you try to go ahead and sell it. So it's not like somebody standing there saying, oh, Julia Sun, we love you on TV. Here's a pocket full of money. They say,
yes.
Julia Sun, what can you bring to me?
It doesn't happen that way. You just have to be out there pitching your idea, selling yourself. You never know what's going to work out.
No, that's right. I mean, it's never easy to figure out what's going to be the trigger that gets a major network or, you know,
yes.
depending on what you're trying to do.
The situation with the media is everything has migrated from TV to online, but online, the internet, is still a relatively new territory, and a lot of people don't know what to do with it. We know, okay, Netflix is doing well with all their shows, Amazon is thinking about getting in the business, so on and so forth, and Apple is, you know, dominating the music business, so on and so forth. But it's still a very much untapped territory, and a lot of people who are running the business, they almost want something guaranteed before they give it a try. And, you know, they don't know what they want.
That's
sometimes
right. Hold that thought.
You just try everything, and that's what I like about you, because you bounce around and you try everything, and a lot of your things work out.
Hold that thought. This is Julia Sun, juliasun.tv, my friend. Very good in business. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
You're so delicious. You're so soft. Sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight and strawberry bubble gum.
Attention, please. High school teachers, high school principals, anybody involved in the educational world, you know how much Bubba cares about financial literacy for our children. Well, I have developed a high school curriculum to help our young people become more savvy in the investing world. Don't you wish you had a program like this when you were going to school, where you could actually educate and learn how to take care of your own portfolio? I'm looking for your help. If you can recommend any high school that could use the program, if you know somebody who wants to help sponsor it, because we give it away to the schools for free. We're just looking for some sponsorship to help make this a better program for everybody. That's Bubba, highschoolinvesting.com. Go check out the site. Let me know if you can help. Let me know if you want to put it in your school. Highschoolinvesting.com. Check it out right here on The Bubba Show. Highschoolinvesting.com. What's up, Bubba Show listeners? Today is your day. My new book, Bubba's Guide to Trading Options, is just getting ready to be released. And you, as a faithful subscriber, I want to offer you the new book, Bubba's Guide to Trading Options, for free. All you have to do is pay $9.95 for shipping and handling. This is the one book that every options trader must have. Takes you from the beginning to the end, with giving you a quiz and a progress update at every single post throughout. Every chapter has a test to make sure that you are grasping the information. And all you need to do to get that book is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and say, I want that book, $9.95, shipping and handling. The book is free. You can also pick it up at thebubbashow.org. That is Bubba's Guide to Trading Options. You got to have it. You need it. Make sure you get it. It's free, plus shipping and handling. Have you signed up for the Bubba Report yet? If not, you are making one drastic mistake. The Bubba Report brings you 200 years of investing experience. We've got Keith Bliss, a view from the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. We've got Scott Schilady from the CME. We've got myself, regular contributor, trader extraordinaire. We've got the Badger, 35 years in the business. We've got Bonnie Pittenger bringing you real estate. We've got Mike Brown on financial planning. What more could you ask for from one report that gives you all the information that you need to make yourself a better trader? The reports are out. They come out monthly. You get a minimum of 12 reports a year for $99 a year. Again, I ask you, what more could you want from an investing report than the straight scoop from over 200 years of real experience in the business? Make sure you go to thebubbashow.org now and get the Bubba Report right now. Sign up for it, $99 a year. Traders, taxes got you down, too complicated for you. Tired of running down to rookies who have no idea what happens in markets? Well, as you heard on The Bubba Show, Steve Dolans, my personal accountant, came on and answered all the questions that you need. Steve is a well-known, well-respected CPA throughout the United States, has clients in all 50 states, not only does corporate, but individual returns, understands the trading model, has been my accountant for many, many years, understands what to do, and I urge you to reach out to Steve Dolans at the Dolans Group, 847-498-1040, extension 222. That's Steve Dolans, the Dolans Group, 847-498-1040, extension 222. You want to get your taxes back in range. You want to get back to understanding how it really works. You want the best to handle. That's Steve Dolans at the Dolans Group, 847-498-1040, extension 222. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Julia Sun from juliasun.tv, an independent reporter, but also very savvy in the business marketplace, and an engineer, and, you know, maybe too smart for me, but we love to have her on anyways because she lets me.
You're
lets
a very smart person, Todd. That's
but,
why I work with.
So, Julia, you know, you're talking about, you know, the internet. What do you see in the internet going forward? I mean, here's what I've said, and I want to get your opinion. I said that a lot of the younger generation, the millennials, they typically have don't even buy TV sets anymore because, you know, the Netflix content is great. They watch everything online. They watch everything on their phone. So they don't, you know, get. So right now, if I would look at the millennial generation, they don't buy TVs and they don't buy home phones because they can do everything on their pocket computer, which is their cell phone.
Absolutely. I personally do not know a single person in their 20s who has a TV in his or her home because everything is mobile. I watch Netflix on my Apple, on my iPad. I can watch everything on the go. It's just so much easier. I don't have to subscribe to whatever cable internet service. And did I mention Time Warner is so slow and so is Verizon. So it's just a hassle to set everything up and cancel everything. So right now, I think people in their 20s, teenagers, they don't care for TV. So the future is definitely mobile. If you, for example, you have your website, and if your website is not mobile friendly, it's very hard to reach the new generation. So whoever wants to get hits, you have to think mobile.
And I could not agree with that more. I mean, again, I've, you know, obviously I'm an old man, but I've seen, you know.
But you have a young heart.
I have a young heart, and I also have watched kids. You know, I coached, so I know how they communicate. And even for me to communicate with my team of 12-year-olds when I was coaching, I had to be able to text to them because they would never pick up the phone. And you, if you called their home, they'd never answer the phone, you know, because, you know, only very few people still have hardline phones in their homes anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's a big change in the world. And what does that do overall to the society, do you think?
I think it's more mobile. We don't have to be, you know, tied to a cord at home. I have not personally touched a landline in, God, at least 4 or 5 years. Everything I do on business is, you know, on my cell phone. So it just makes America more mobile. We don't have to be tied down to anything.
Exactly. So we look at, we've talked about, you know, the economy we don't think is great. And now, just a little, let's go across the ocean for a little bit here. And, you know, we know Greece and what's going on there. The first thing is, do you think, in your opinion, from a trader's perspective and a TV person's perspective, does Greece really mean anything to our markets? And is it being way overreported? What's your opinion?
Well, first of all, I feel very sorry for the Greeks, the people in Greece, and it is a terrible situation. But if we are talking about from the United States perspective, I think we don't have that much downside because a few years ago when we had this whole Greek crisis, yes, American companies, American investors, American people have a lot of, hold a lot of the bonds in Greece. So yes, it would have been a lot of downside if the same thing happened a few years back. But over the past few years, I feel Americans have learned their lessons. They have cut their positions. So right now, just talking business, I think no matter what happens to Greece, there's limited downside to American investors.
So when you say you feel sorry for the people in Greece now, you know, I'm one of these guys, I'm a real anti-entitlement kind of person, okay? So I'm not a big fan of all the entitlements that we see and what goes on. And of course, Greece was one of the biggest. I mean, 50% of their GDP went to the entitlement programs because where else can you start work at 21 and retire at 22?
Yes.
So, you know, do you really feel sorry for the people in Greece when they've had all these tremendous entitled benefits over time? I mean, you know, that's kind of what I say is, you know, look,
right.
I don't want anybody to suffer.
So
but,
I feel sorry for the people in Greece, but I agree with you that I think the prime minister, particularly in Greece, has done a terrible job. So over the past 5 years, Greek economy shrank significantly. Their unemployment rate is 25%. And just as a reminder, unemployment rate, it only counts people who are actively looking for work and willing to work. So in reality, I would say maybe 2 out of 5 people in Greece are probably unemployed, if not more. And I think it's because the Greek leaders have not implemented practical policies that work. So I feel sorry for people who have to live under that system.
Well, let me ask you a question. So now you bring that up, and of course, I believe Greece is no meaning. In fact, I've said this publicly. I've said this on my show and on TV. I go, the bottom line is Merkel would like to throw Greece out altogether because they do bring no value to the party. But now you've talked about their work there, but what about the job that Chairwoman Yellen has done and Bernanke before? And our current administration, I mean, they have certainly not done a good job for
They have not done anything. Since you talked about Yellen, the Federal Reserve has been really vague on their message across the board. I don't know what they will do. I don't think they know what they will do. They certainly have a lot of problems to worry about domestically here. So I don't even know how much Greece is on their mind.
Well, that's where you and I get along so well, because, see, I believe that Yellen, I think the Fed and Yellen are cheering right now in a private room saying, thank God for Greece and thank God for a lousy jobs number, because now we don't have to keep talking about raising rates, because we don't know what to do now anyway, so we're not going to raise them. And now we don't have to talk about it because the information has not come to force us to
information. Yes, because Greece has taken over the headline in America, business headlines at least. So nobody is really paying attention to what they are doing, maybe for 10 minutes after the unemployment report came out, but that is not the front center headline right now. So they're probably cheering the back room that they're getting a little break.
So you being a trader, engineer, brilliant person, if you were the head of the Fed, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, I would make the message a lot more clear. I would say, because, for example, before they said, we will raise interest rate when unemployment rate falls below a certain percentage point. And when that happened, they said, no. Actually, that's not really a good indicator anymore. We will look at labor participation rate and plus a few other measures. So I feel these are economists. They know exactly what each indicator means. They did not just learn this yesterday that one indicator is more important than the other. I think they need to be on the same page on day one and be clear about what indicators they're looking, and when that happens, they can raise rate accordingly. So I think the communication is a big problem of theirs.
Would you raise rates now if it were you?
A little bit, I would, because I think we have been in low interest rate environments for way too long.
And I agree. I mean, I look, again, at this point, I think Bernanke missed his opportunity. But at this point, the only way you can bring back real business and real growth is by raising rates so that you can allow banks to loan money, because they're not. Listen, I don't blame the banks. I think the banks are a little murky. I think that the Fed is a cartel for the banks. However, I do know that if I were a banker and I had to borrow, I could borrow money at zero from the Fed and give it back to the full faith and credit to the United States government at, let's say 2.5%, or I'd have to loan it to me at 3.5 or 3.75%. I know I'd be giving the money back to the full faith and credit as well. So I don't blame the banks at this point, but until interest rates and the interest rate spread between borrowing and lending rate widens, banks are not going to loan money to the average Joe, which means that we're not going to see that entrepreneurship of people running to the bank to borrow money nor buy
homes.
Yes,
absolutely. I'll give an example. So, I'm in Manhattan, and I said the real estate price here is crazy. One thing that, foreign investors here, namely from Russia, China, and Brazil, have a real leg up versus the local people is they buy everything with cash. Buyers like cash offers, well, not because it's cash offers, because they deem it as so much more, so much safer than, somebody who needs to take out a mortgage, because they don't know what the bank's going to do. They don't know if this approval means anything. So I feel Americans, they're not really getting so much borrowing opportunity because exactly the reasons you have said, and it's not really doing people a service.
And I couldn't agree more with that, because, again, it comes down to, who can buy, who can pay, and where's the money going to come from? And that has really, in my opinion, killed the entrepreneurial spirit of Americans, because you have nowhere to go. And if you want to borrow money, you can only use your credit card, which you then get charged usury rates.
Oh, huge, 20-something, 20+%, which is ridiculous.
So that makes it a much more challenging way to go about doing things when you have no access to a credit line or something like that. Julia Sun, any special messages in your last minute with me today?
No, I will see you next time.
This has been Julia Sun from juliasun.tv, trader extraordinaire, engineer, TV personality. You got to check her out. Julia, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
It's our friend Julia Sun, juliasun.tv, ex-trader, educated engineer, went to Cornell, really a top-notch, a very, very bright young woman, and really on top of it all. And again, I want to make sure that, I pay homage to our youth, but I also want to make sure that you check out the Bubba Report that can be found at thebubbashow.org. 150 to 200 years of total experience throughout markets, giving you commentary that will help make you a better investor. Go to thebubbashow.org now. Check it out. Spend $99 a year. You'll find out there's nothing better. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
10 miles from town, and I just broke down, spitting out smoke on the side of the road. I'm out here alone, just trying to get home.
Are you using Thinkorswim? If you're not, you should reevaluate the platform that you're using, because I can tell you from over 35 years of experience in the trading business that Thinkorswim, the platform that was built by traders for traders, is by far the best platform that you can ever use, whether you're trading options or stocks or futures. Thinkorswim has the most sophisticated, user-friendly platform that if you are not using it, you are making one big mistake. You're going to check them out, Thinkorswim, thinkorswim.com. Tell them Bubba sent you. We get not only that, but if you email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org, I can help get you a special rate and get you hooked up and help be the liaison between yourself and Thinkorswim to make it better for you. That's Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, the absolute best. Tired of getting beat up on bad ETFs? Tired of not understanding where the money goes? Well, friends, it's time that you check out ETFsecurities.com. You've heard Mike McClone on the air here, who is their representative, and you've seen and talk about the different ETFs they have that take into consideration the storage cost and all the other costs that no other ETF brings to you. They are specialists in the gold, silver, platinum markets. They've got not only an ETF on gold, not one on silver, but also one on a basket of the precious metals called Glitter, Golf Lima Tango Romeo GLTR. You got to go check out ETFsecurities.com and make sure that you use one of their ETFs in your portfolio. I'm telling you here that you need to be diversified. You need to run the plan. And part of that is having precious metals as part of one of your things. ETFsecurities.com, check them out. Traders, have you ever heard the term, there is no time like the present? Well, Bubba's here telling you there is no time like the present. The Badger and me have put together a series of webinars, a 12-week webinar package of teaching you options from the very beginning. In other words, if you don't know anything about options, it's for you. If you're very advanced in options, it's for you, because we're going to get to all of the strategies that you can possibly ever want to get to trade, invest, or protect your long-term portfolio. This will be a group that is a maximum size of 10 participants per webinar series, in which the Badger and I will teach you basically one-on-one how options work, how they trade, how they benefit you, and how to help you increase yield on your current portfolio or put yourself in a better place of trading going forward. All you need to do to get more information is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. There is a cost to this program, but email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, and I'll give you all the information that you need to
know. I was loud. I was invincible. And I was proud. Yeah, I was drunk. I was loud. I was invincible, and I was proud. After 10,000 beers and 28 years,
welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And as you know, on every Tuesday, I do a BNN out of Canada after the close. And of course, last Tuesday, we had a Supreme Court ruling that, or actually it was last Monday, but the Supreme Court ruled kind of against the EPA. And of course, we all know what has happened to coal stocks since our good friend Mr. President Obama has been in office. They've gone from hundreds of dollars to pennies. And I got a chance to address that issue, as long as a few other commodities, on BNN last Tuesday. I want you to check it out. Let's get with Michael Hainsworth on BNN last Tuesday.
Look at the Dow and the NASDAQ Composite Index. The blue chip basket in the green by 21. The NASDAQ with a 0.5% increase by 28. For more on the day's market action, we're off to Chicago to talk to the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horowitz joins us as usual. Todd, good to have you with us.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you? What do you make of this whole Greek tragedy playing out?
Well, you know, in fact, they're talking about having a special referendum meeting in the morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern time. I believe that Greece will end up out of the eurozone. That has been my position all along. I believe that if it wasn't for Spain, Portugal, and Italy, they'd have thrown them out a long time ago because basically they have no GDP anyways. Half of their GDP goes for their entitlement programs. So I think had it be done with nothing else involved, they would probably like him out. Now, I don't think they're getting back in. I know Spurs is in a lot of trouble, and they're probably going to throw him out too. But at the end of the day, I don't see a resolution. I think that Greece ends up going back to the drachma.
Okay, so as Greece goes back to the drachma, I suppose the safest place to be would be in gold right now. You're a big fan of the Market Vectors Gold Miners ETF?
You know, I really like him. What I don't understand, Michael, is, you know, obviously I look at a lot of technical levels, and gold has been really just stuck in a really lousy 1180 to 1220 range. But if you take a look at some of the miners and some of this, you know, some of the stocks, Bearish Gold, Vectors Miners, I mean, they're just getting hammered every day. It's like there's going to be any value for gold. To me, those are now value plays. When you see markets and they're just totally punishing these, I think you want to say, you know what, it's about time we step in and buy this. We're going to be using gold. There's going to be a demand for gold, whether it's through a fear play, which we didn't see that on Sunday night when the first news of Greece came by. But at the end of the day, these stocks now become great value plays down here, and these are ones I think you want to own in your portfolio. As big as a bear as I am overall the equity markets, I think these are great plays to start accumulating small positions in ABX, GDX, and any of the other ones that have been just totally beaten down into basically nowhere.
Well, to that point then, would you not rather be in particular gold miners as opposed to a basket, because not all are created equal?
That is true. I mean, again, you have to look at what works best for the individual. I happen to like, you know, getting involved in more of the baskets, but either is good. And again, when you see this type of pattern where we totally throw away everything, we saw it in crude oil early in the year, we saw it in the grain markets this year, wherever you see that happen, as long as you believe that those companies, those baskets are going to be in business, those are typically good places to buy them, because once everybody gets out, it means there's only one way to go, and that would be up. And that's what I think. Way too many people are short these. I think there's going to be a short squeeze that will kick off the rally. And I think I can see ourselves working much higher going forward. I think there's been too much pressure on the markets in general between gold and the miners that we're going to see a big move shortly here.
I want to talk about a different commodity. I want to talk about old King Coal. He had his crown polished yesterday by the U.S. Supreme Court. We saw a big spike in the coal-related stocks on the news that the EPA's rules on emissions went too far. Is the run already done for coal, considering the jump we saw yesterday?
You know, they did hammer down a little bit of the coal stocks today. I think it's not done. I believe that there's some unbelievable values. I think, you have to have a cast iron stomach, right? If you want to get involved in some of these, it's a gamble trade. But, I mean, you take a look at a stock, you know, Walther's Energy, it's 25 cents a share. The stock was $135 when Obama took office. If there's any value at all or any squeeze, again, you're playing the fact that they're going to be able to use more coal. You're going to play the fact that the demand's going to come back, and you're playing the fact that maybe the EPA continues to let it pass by. If all those things occur, you could see a monster rally in these. And if not, there's so little risk. So it is a riskier trade, but you don't have to risk a lot of money to make a lot of money here. And this is a play that I'm making myself, and I think that it's a great play to make because it gives you an opportunity to participate in a product that we still really need. I mean, we have not lost the need for coal. We still need that as an energy source to help produce our oil and do everything else we do with it. So we think we're going to be done with it today. I don't think so. I think we will see some value, especially once Obama comes out of office.
Okay, orange is the new black, and I'm not talking about coal here. I'm talking about Netflix. You and I talked about this. You're not a fan of Netflix right now. They announced that 7-for-1 trade, a stock split. Often we see stocks spike on a split. You haven't changed your opinion about the Hollywood 2.0?
No, I love Netflix. As again, I'm a subscriber. I think it's a great product. I just don't see the value up here. I think it's strictly overvalued. Could we see a rally? It's based on shareholders of record on July 2nd, which is Thursday. So could we see a run up there? I mean, we saw today, last I looked, it was up $12. I'm a seller at any rally. You know, last week we talked, it was 700. I said, you have to be a seller here because it can't match the value. I like the company, but I don't like the valuation of the stock. Maybe when they split it, maybe they can get some growth. But again, this content costs money, and there's going to be more competition. The more money they make, the better they succeed, the more the bigger players are going to come in and squeeze down their market like it happens in many markets. And I don't see them as a $700 stock. I see them probably as a $350 stock.
Todd, good getting your take as always. Have a great Independence Day on Friday.
Thanks, Michael. I'll see you next week. I appreciate it.
And that's our man, Michael Hainsworth from BNN. And, of course, I do think that coal is probably a great play down here. Again, even if it's going to go out of business, which a fair chance that it will, I think that when you look at the opportunity that is presented by this space, I think you'll see that we could see it worst a pop. Remember, all these stocks, even when they're going out or under, do have opportunities that we will see a short squeeze. There'll be a reason that we could see some sort of a pop. And I think these are great plays. Again, if you have an appetite for risk and you're willing to gamble a bit, these are companies that are on the fringe. These are like penny stocks, excuse me, which typically we don't trade. Okay, but here, the difference here is I would not put a ton in. But certainly you could buy 1,000 shares of Walters Energy, for example, for 21 cents. You're talking about $200. Now, again, $200 is a lot of money as well. But at the end of the day, you've got a chance to double, triple, quadruple. And who knows what could happen. And, of course, you could lose the $210. So this is not something that you're putting away for the rainy day. This is not your retirement. This is saying, hey, I've seen this movie many times before. I've seen markets get way overdone. And as you look at, you know, Arch Coal, as you look at Walter Energy, as you look at Alphanumeric Resources, you see that these have been just absolutely destroyed through the Obama administration. Now, you're a believer in green and you're a believer that the EPA will never let this go through and there'll be other problems, well, then you've got exactly that, then you stay away. But if you're like me and you believe that the potential exists for, at worst, a potential short squeeze in these beaten down stocks, then you take a little bit of a gamble. But again, as I say, this is a gamble. This is not something that you're looking at. I mean, we're starting to see the same action in a lot of the natural gas stocks, and God knows why we're seeing it there now. I guess we're no longer, you know, I guess because we have so much oil, we don't worry about natural gas. But if you look at a Chesapeake, you know, just getting punished down to under $11. So those are plays that we look at as value, as opportunity, but the coal plays are certainly a major gamble. And again, we're talking about a gamble trade that we're not putting away a lot of money, but we're willing to take a little bit of gamble and a little bit of risk. I hope you enjoyed the show today. A lot of fun. We always enjoy presenting to you. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. And if you have any questions, please email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. It's important that you communicate and we stay together because we got good things going on, and certainly we're excited to be here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow. Everybody have a great day. September and I really should be back at school.